Well, this morning, before we get started, I just wanted to, I don't know if I would call this formal, but informally introduce you to, if you have not met her yet, Augusto's mom has been with us for a while, and as he calls her, Mama. And so Mama is with us, and there she is standing up. So everybody just wave at her. I don't want to make her feel uncomfortable, but she's here with us until probably about December. And I was just talking to Augusto before service, and it's been a long time since she's been able to be with the family. And for the kids to be able to get to know their grandmother is such a blessing, isn't it? And so we're thankful that you're here with us, and for as long as you are, and just know you're loved as well. Well, good morning. As we bring our series From Chaos to Clarity to a close, we're reminded of the transformative power of the Word of God. Do you believe that? The Word of God is transformative. It has the power to change you from the inside out. Do you believe that? Well, today, our focus is on living in the light of eternity. And it's so ironic. I wrote this sermon weeks ago now, and I was reflecting as I was writing the message for yesterday for the memorial service for Margaret. I didn't know that was going to happen the day we're going to have that service the day before today. And she is living in the light of eternity right now. How cool is that? What we're going to talk about today, Margaret is experiencing right now. It is so cool. We're going to be in Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church. So if you want to open your Bibles, we're going to be in chapters 4 and 5. So 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. In the midst of life's chaos and uncertainty, as we've talked about, there's lots of that. The passages we're going to read today offer us a perspective that transcends the temporal and points us towards the eternal. Let us dive into God's word together as we seek clarity in living for the things that truly matter. This morning, the scripture passages are going to preach to us. I love sermons like this when they happen, where I'm not going to have to add a whole lot to this. The scriptures will speak for themselves. God is going to speak through his word in powerful ways this morning if you are willing to listen. And there's the key. You have to be willing. Let's begin by reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this. If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is hidden only from people who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants. For Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let there be light in the darkness," has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves. We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Dan, we probably should have sang Trading My Sorrows today. From this passage, we learn our first main truth this morning. The gospel of God is truth, and truth brings clarity to chaos. The gospel of God is truth, and truth brings clarity to chaos. Let's go back to what verse 2 says. Apostle Paul says this: we reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God. I'm about to say something that is going to be politically incorrect, so prepare yourselves. This is live streamed, so this Facebook may shut down. I don't know. We'll see. However, I believe what I'm about to say needs to be stated. We as Christians cannot cower in the corner in hot button conversations. In this hot and politically charged climate, as Christians, we tend to be pushed to be afraid of speaking biblical truth because we don't want to offend people. The Bible teaches murder is wrong. Therefore, abortion is wrong. We must reject shameful deeds. It is shameful to kill a baby in the womb. Again, I don't know if Facebook just shut down. Probably just made the Facebook censors go nuts. It's amazing that a pastor would say that abortion's wrong. How about this? The Bible teaches that God created us male and female. Don't cower in the transgender debate. Just a couple weeks ago during the Olympics, a biological male was allowed to box as a woman and took out a female boxer with 2 punches. As Christians, we believe in truth. We believe in the clarity that comes from truth. Therefore, we must fight for truth. We must stand firm on truth, and we must reject shameful deeds. It is shameful that men in combat sports particularly can face off against women who are physically weaker than men. It is disgusting and despicable. And it is unfair. It is also important to remember that the biblical standard of sexual immorality, or sexual morality, let me state that again, is not outdated or no longer relevant. Nor is it misunderstood by us as Christians or conservative Christians. There is a standard for how we are to live, and it is given by God through His Word. It is not left for our interpretation to figure out when God explicitly said it in His Word that there are things that we are not to do, we are not to do them as believers in Jesus Christ. We must tell the truth and not be afraid of being offensive. We must reject shameful deeds. Let me be clear. This is not me saying this. This is the Word of God. Amen? Now, this doesn't mean that we purposely and hurtfully go out and beat people over the head with truth. You know, our God, we're not supposed to take, I don't have my Bible with me right now. It's all printed here, but I don't take my Bible and just smack somebody over the head with it. This is the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit. I want to smack you over the head with it. Okay, we don't do that. That is not going to make anyone Christian or follow Jesus or go to heaven, okay? If it does, then it might happen one time and it'll never happen again. But I truly believe we can speak truth in love and gentleness most of the time. However, there are going to be times to stand up and fight for the truth of God, and Christians, for heaven's sake, can we do so? Don't be cowered into a corner. This series has been titled From Chaos to Clarity. There is chaos all around us. If Christians don't provide the truth of the Word of God, which is what brings clarity, who's going to? You are needed now more than ever, church. The solution to all of our problems in our society is more Jesus. More Jesus living through us. I know for some of our brothers and sisters in the church, Big C, this is old school Sunday school stuff. Jesus, more Jesus. But it isn't any less true. More Jesus is good. And more Jesus right now is really, really good. I don't think I have any more things that'll get us shut down. So if we're still good on Facebook, we got a thumbs up. So we should be good for the rest of the sermon. Had to get that out at the beginning. Are we all okay? Okay. Oh, shut down some more of the internet. Don't get me started. It's election season. Our second main truth is found in verses 10 through 18. Read it with me. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Yes, we live under constant danger of death because we serve Jesus, so that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, "I believe in God, so I spoke." Can I pause for just a second before we move on to the next verse? We talked about this a little bit in our Bible study this morning in here, but don't take this the wrong way, but if you say things like, "My faith is personal, I keep it to myself," your faith is not the correct kind of faith in Jesus that the Bible talks about. Our faith is not designed to be kept to ourselves. God did not put a passive spirit or a timid spirit in you. He put a bold spirit in you. Just like the psalmist, "I believed in God, so I spoke." We stand on the word of God. We speak the word of God. Verse 14, "We know that God, who raised the Lord Jesus, will also raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. All of this is for your benefit. And as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving and God will receive more and more glory." I've said it before, church. We shouldn't be upset or frustrated when we see more people in the church, in the seats, when we're running out of room. Don't be frustrated. That's a good thing. God is moving. When he's moving more and more, we should be saying, "More and more, please. Let's go. Keep it coming." If he forces us to build a new building in a few years or even in the next year, thank you, Jesus. That's a good thing. I'm super excited about that. And you should be too. We should never be saying, "Man, it's just getting too many people here. What the heck, man? Sheesh. I liked it the old way where I knew everybody." I want to know everybody too, but let's be real. Once you get past 50 people, if you're like me, you don't remember people's names. You have to really struggle to remember people's names, okay? If you ever notice, when I get to know somebody new in our church, I'll say their name over and over and over again. It probably gets really annoying to them, but I repeat their name back to them because if I don't, I'll forget. So if I say it enough, maybe I'll remember. I'm sure KJ knows what I'm talking about because I kept saying, KJ. Hey, it's nice to see you, KJ. KJ, it's nice to see you. Now I know it's KJ, so we're good. If you have not met KJ and Natasha and their parents, you need to meet them. They are fantastic human beings. And we found out, unfortunately, Kevin, you got to get better at your dart game, man. We got to get you better at darts. There will be a rematch. He promised me. We played darts on Thursday, so he said we need to have a rematch of darts. Verse 16. "That is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying," do you guys feel that? Those of us who are getting older, our bodies are breaking down and dying. "Our spirits are being renewed every day. It doesn't matter if you are this close to death or way, 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 way far away from it. You can be renewed every single day. Your body may be dying, but you know what? Your spirit can live and live full." Amen? "For our present troubles are small and won't last very long. Yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever." This is one of those verses, verse 17, that I would encourage you to write and put on a mirror or put in your day book and it pops up to you every single day to remind you. It's not to diminish what you're going through, but it is to say it's temporary. Nothing we go through in this life is forever, right? Margaret, better than anybody we know right now, knows exactly what it's like to not have to walk around with a cane anymore. Her struggles, her health struggles, are all gone. She's dancing. And you can have that too. But we need to remember while we're on this mortal coil that this stuff that we deal with every day, the chaos that we see around us, is just temporary, folks. It's not forever. You don't have to live with this like, oh, woe is me, life is bad. God wants to renew your spirit every day. There is a glory that is being produced in us that vastly outweighs all the negativity, all the bad stuff. God can work all things for good, amen? Verse 18. Listen to this. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Your faith in Jesus is more important than any of the earthly struggles we go through. Somebody say amen to that. Here's our second truth. The clarity found in the truth of God is worth fighting for. Folks, let me back up. As believers, our faith has been attacked and demeaned. But we must endure. We must persevere. Churches, we're going to read in a moment. God chooses us to carry his message. The time is now. Today is the day. Passive Christianity is not Christianity at all. Passive Christianity is just simply cowardice. We have nothing to fear. It's what Jesus through Paul just told us. We have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. You share the gospel, what is the worst thing that can happen to you? Maybe jail. I mean, right now I would say that's not even an issue. God is with you. God is with us. God is behind us, right? He's on our side. The Bible tells us that. And guess what? We have the end of the story. Who wins? God wins. He wins. He's got the victory. He's actually already won the war. This is like a skirmish that continues to happen, but the other side knows they're going to lose. If you've never heard, there's a movie called Nefarious. It came out about 2 years ago or so now. If you have not seen it, I would strongly encourage you to watch it. And Nefarious is about this guy who was a serial killer. And I know that's for some of you, you're like, oh, I want to watch a serial killer movie. That's great. Stay with me. So the serial killer is on death row, and he claims that he has a demon living inside of him. And so they call in this psychiatrist because in our country, we don't execute people who are legitimately cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, right? And so they had to bring in this psychiatrist to see if he's really cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. And so they have this conversation. The whole movie is just in this meeting room in the prison, this prison inmate and the psychiatrist having a conversation. That's the whole movie. And what we find out is, number one, demons are real. Demons know the Bible better than we do. And we also know that they already know they lost. The enemy's goal is to drag us down with them. Do you understand that? They don't think they've won the war. They know they've lost. But they want to take every single one of us with them. But guess what? We have the power to overcome them. They don't have any power or authority over you unless you let them. God is in you. He's in us. And because God is in us, we have the victory. Again, we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be ashamed because our beliefs are, according to the culture, outdated and all of these things. Be confident. Our God is good, and our God is King, and He is the Savior, and we got nothing to be afraid of. Friends, it's important for us to put our struggles into perspective. I believe that a correct perspective can help us to redirect our minds to Him. Listen to what Paul says in Colossians chapter 3. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all His glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do these things when your life was still a part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all of its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature. Let's say that again. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. That's holiness, folks. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric or uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. You notice how he says, anyone? Anyone who offends you? We could all do better at that. Don't you think? Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. We must keep our eyes on heavenly things. We are not supposed to dwell on the earthly, temporal problems around us. This requires a fresh perspective. That perspective can only come through the transformation found in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important. The last thing the Lord wants us to understand this morning is that God calls on us to bring clarity to chaos by being His messengers. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord, we work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this too. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us, so you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. I'm going to be honest with you. I've met pastors like this, that they rave about their spectacular ministries, but there's a lot of eyes in those statements. I would much rather people just say that I have a good heart than I have a great ministry. Because if I have a great heart, I'm going to have a great ministry. I don't have to worry about the other part, right? And the same is true for us as individuals. If you're doing and following God, you don't need praise for what you're doing. God will give you the reward in heaven. You don't need the reward here. If it seems we are crazy, say that again. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. We have permission. We can be crazy. That's what it says. Bible's right there. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Now, keep in mind, this is a pastor writing. So if I'm crazy, that's a good thing. And if I'm in my right mind, it's also good. So no matter what, I win. That's what he said. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. Now listen to this. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. You know, sometimes we stop at verse 17 and we got new life and everything's good, but we forget that verse 18 actually happens. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. He saved you so you can help save others. He didn't save you so you can just feel good about yourself, so you can sit in church and be happy to come to church and feel good about yourself. He saved you to save others, to build his kingdom. There's a purpose behind you being saved. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. I don't know about you, but I have people in my family who used to go to church or should know the truth and have turned away. It is my responsibility to call out to them, come back to God. Even if they say no over and over and over again, I still plead, come back to God. Many of you know the story of my brother. I plead with my brother, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. So as God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it. For God says, at just the right time, I heard you. On the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Paul spends this entire passage telling us how important it is to share the gospel and to persuade others. This is what bringing clarity to chaos looks like. God calls this purpose he has given us a marvelous gift. He also says in verse 16 that we need to stop evaluating others from a human perspective. Rather, we should evaluate people the way that God does. The gospel is simply this. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. That is the gospel. This is the best message there is to declare. I've been around the water cooler. We talk about sports. KJ and I, we love talking about college football. He watches, like, a lot of college football. Like, he was watching a high school team, two high school teams play yesterday. Crazy. Like, a dude loves football. And I love that those kinds of conversations. But those conversations ultimately don't matter. How many times are you having conversations around the water cooler saying, Do you know Jesus? Do you believe in him? Are you going to heaven? Do you know how much God loves you? Do you know that Jesus went to the cross and died for you? That's the message that matters. All of our problems, all of our struggles of this life should not be able to prevent us from sharing the gospel, the good news of salvation. Salvation is here. Hallelujah. I'll say it again. Salvation is here. Bingo. You guys can be good. You guys are with me. Paul tells us at the end of our passage in 2 Corinthians 6:2, indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day, my friends. Salvation is a message for now. Salvation is not a message for tomorrow or the next day or somewhere down the line. Teenagers, following Jesus and being dedicated to him is not for when you're 40 years old like me. It's for today. God wants to use you right now in your schools. For you young adults, today is the day. Today is the day. You have friends who are living lives of sin and death. They're not headed in the right direction, and they need you to be the ones to share the gospel with them. If you need help, if you need encouragement, come on Sunday nights, 5:30 to 7. Shameless plug. Young adults group, come and be a part of it. There's encouragement there. There's an opportunity to learn more, to get deepen your own faith. Parents, the day of salvation is today to teach your kids the truth of Jesus Christ. Do not rely on the church to do it for you. Parents, it is your job to raise your kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, not the churches. We help in that. I'm not saying that we don't have a role. I'm saying it's your responsibility. The Bible says it's the father and the mother's responsibility to raise their kids, to teach them the ways in which they should go. Grandparents, you also have a responsibility to your kids. Doesn't matter if they're adults. I've told you before, my dad's going to love this. He's still my dad. I'm still afraid of him in some ways. If he tells me to do something, I do it. But my parents and my in-laws, they help raise my kids. They care about the ways that my kids are going. They encourage my children. Grandparents, don't miss the opportunity. Impose yourself on your grandkids, for heaven's sake. Spoil them too. But show them Jesus. That's a little more important. A lot more important. My prayer is that today would be a day of declaration and excitement for you. This is a good message. This is a message I love to preach. I could preach this every Sunday. Today is the day to step out of our comfort zones and be bold ambassadors of Christ's gospel message. Again, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we as individuals and as a church body help our community and those around us go from chaos to clarity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, for each and every one of us, for every teenager, every young adult, every young parent, every grandparent, every senior adult, Father, may we be bold ambassadors for you. May we share the gospel unashamed and unafraid. Would you build your kingdom through this church? Father, we're not looking for growth for our own benefit or our own glory. We're looking for our church to grow, for people to come to know you, because we want to see them in heaven. We know that you have an eternal plan for them, And we want them to see that realized. Father, this is not a game. This is not something that's just, you know, something we do. This is our whole life needs to be dedicated to loving you and loving others. And loving others means that we lead them to you. We love them enough to not leave them as we find them. Father, we recognize you're at work here. As the song we sang earlier in the service said, God, you are on the move. Hallelujah. We are thankful. We look around and we see the growth. We see kids running around, and that noise in our church is good. It means there's life here. Bring us more of that. Father, continue to give us wisdom, discernment, guidance as we need it, and help us to be the kingdom builders you have called us to be. And everyone said, Amen.